God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is from our gospel reading, as we have the first miracle of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark as he goes into the synagogue and he's teaching. And he's teaching a message that is a little bit different than the messages that they used to hear. Very often some commentators have speculated that other scribes and other teachers would be doing, you know, a lot of proof texting, a lot of quoting of other experts, so to speak. Not so with Jesus. He is the expert. He is the Word of God, the God that takes on flesh and blood and makes his dwelling among us. He doesn't have to sit there and say, Rabbi so-and-so says this. When he is teaching, he taught with authority. And in the midst of this teaching, there was a little bit of a disturbance in the crowd, so to speak. There was a man with an unclean spirit. Now, please notice that our text for today says unclean spirit. That's very important. And in the midst of this unclean spirit, the spirit speaks. Jesus drives out the spirit. The man is now healed. And I will admit, this is a part of Scripture that sometimes people get a little uneasy with. And one of the reasons why we get a little uneasy with it is because we're talking about something we can't necessarily put our hands on, something we can't necessarily see with our eyes. Sure, we can hear the voice, but now we get a little uneasy because now this is something beyond ourselves. We may remember, as we just got through confessing the Nicene Creed, in that first article about how we believe in God the Father Almighty, the one who creates all things, and especially we have the reference to things visible and invisible. Tonight, we'll be talking about some of those things invisible, an unclean spirit. Is there really such a thing that can come upon a person? And the answer is yes. Now, I'm not going to go into too much of the Hollywood dramatics. You know, things like movies called The Exorcist, or maybe even some TV shows like Buffy. But we are going to talk about what Scripture says. And in the midst of our uneasiness, we have to realize one very important thing before we dive more into our text. We have to remember our faith rests in what Christ has done. So any uneasiness that may be generated within us at this moment needs to be put aside as we look at the cross of Jesus Christ and say, there is our victory, there is our strength. Because I need to start with that cross. Because there are some people who just sit there and say this concept of an unclean spirit was just something that people made up to describe some sort of medical illness or maybe some mental health issues that the person had. Well, that could be, but I'm not tending to buy that. Here's the reason why. What is the purpose of God taking on flesh and blood? What was the purpose of Christmas? Not just to get a season to give gifts, but to celebrate God taking on flesh and blood and dwelling among us for the purpose of Good Friday. God dying on the cross. To do what? Yes, the one who dies on the cross to give us the forgiveness of sins, something we preach and proclaim every single week. But yet in that cross, we have to ask why. Why is sin such a big thing? Because connected with sin, we know that Christ not only defeats sin, but as Martin Luther describes it, sin, death, and the devil. Now, when we talk about Christ defeating death, at this time of the year, we might be thinking, oh, Christ, our Savior, too bad he just couldn't get both aspects in mind. You know, the two absolutes in life, death and taxes. Can't he defeat taxes? Unfortunately, Scripture even says, as Jesus says, give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. We need to be content with Christ defeating death, sin, and the devil. We may remember after that Good Friday event what happens. Jesus descends into hell, Holy Saturday, to proclaim the good news, his victory over Satan and the evil angels. Again, things invisible. But so that leads us to our uncomfortability in talking about the unclean spirits. Yes, Hollywood has filled our mind with many images and has distorted the reality of the power struggle between Christ and the devil. So in our text for today, we have a man with an unclean spirit. And if we take a look at our text in the Greek a little bit carefully, we might find the words even more puzzling. A better way of translating this would be a man in an unclean spirit. Too often in our imagery, we would expect almost the opposite, that a man would have an unclean spirit within him. So what's the difference? Well, a man in an unclean spirit almost gives you the idea that the unclean spirit sort of is like surrounding him and it has engulfed him, versus a man that would have an unclean spirit would almost seem like the spirit is almost like within him. You know, and if you did a little bit of surgery, a little bit of manipulation, maybe you can just sort of pluck that out. The first, as the Greek notes, is almost a little bit more scary. That something is sort of surrounding him, enveloping him, consuming him. Could this be true? The answer is, actually, St. Paul uses a very similar expression, noting that Christians are in Christ, and that any good works that Christians do are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't worry, you can still legally drive under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But it does denote that something has sort of consumed us, and something from the outside. It is also the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So again, do not worry here. As Christians, we put our faith in Christ, who then covers us, so to speak. And so we are in Christ. Our fear may come up of being driven by the devil and our sinful nature. Can the devil come upon me and cover me and possess me, so to speak? Note the text, a man in an unclean spirit is now cleansed by the Word of God. So we have to go to that cleansing of the Word of God. And in your little bit of your handout sheet, you have near the bottom of the page, you have the order of baptism, newly revised a few years ago by Dr. Martin Luther, okay, a few hundred years ago. And so I have in there that Word of God that applies for us today in the cleansing of this unclean spirit. It says, the officiants shall say, and that's another word for the pastor, and this is usually connected to the baptismal rite at the beginning, depart, thou unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit. And then the liturgy continues, then he shall make the sign of the cross upon him, upon his forehead and upon his heart, and she goes, and it goes on and saying, I adjure thee, thou unclean spirit, by the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, that thou come out of and depart from the servant of Jesus Christ, and then the name is given and the word Amen. Now, please note that if you open up the Lutheran service book, you will find the rite of holy baptism in there, and you will not find these words of Martin Luther and his liturgy. One of the reasons why is our fear. Even within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the Commission of Worship, as they put together the Lutheran service book, the answer is yes. Because you can find this alternate form of baptism in sort of the pastor's book, just in case that the pastor has done some teaching and people are willing to accept this. So here we have now what happens in baptism. Typically we say in baptism that, yes, the power of God's Word connected with the water now cleanses us, gives us that Holy Spirit, and that baby, typically, because we practice infant baptism, is now in Christ. And so now there's a transfer, so to speak. And if I could use another spiritual term here that really doesn't fit it, but it kind of helps in our understanding here. It's sort of a transfer of a quote-unquote an aura, that thing that sort of surrounds us, so to speak. Now from the unclean spirit to the spirit that makes us clean through holy baptism. And so now the power of Christ is around us. And so we say we are now in Christ. And again, the same thing or similar thing happened in our text for today. The man with an unclean spirit, the spirit was driven out. We hope and pray God's word came in. And the person was now in Christ. Maybe not without the whole liturgy of holy baptism, but at least with this quote-unquote exorcism did take place. Now, the little cartoon at the in our little handout has sort of two sheep dialoguing here. And I've used these two sheep before. They're kind of very humorous. The first sheep says, "The power of Christ compels you." The other one says, "Okay, I'm afraid to ask here." And that first sheep says, "We want everyone to know Jesus, right? Then the demons know. Let them do the work." Because this picks up a very particular point. What did the demons say about Jesus? He says, "I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." Talk about a bold confession of faith. Or at least a bold confession. The demon knows who Jesus is, but yet in our world today, we even have a hard time with Christians making this kind of confession. Now, the joke continues on and says, with the second sheep, "Wait a minute, you're saying that performing an exorcism is easier than doing evangelism." And the first one says, "Is that wrong?" I will admit, it is a lot easier to take God's word, attach it to water, and place it upon somebody to bring about that healing power of Christ, to bring that person into Christ, than it is to dialogue and to discuss. Hence the humor of our cartoon. But getting back to that beautiful theological point here, the invisible, the unclean spirits, they know who Jesus is. And even in James chapter 2, verse 9, he writes, "You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." Are we talking here about some physical aspect of mental health? I fear not. We're talking about something real in an invisible realm. And that real invisible realm may cause us some concern. So going back to our insert, let us cling on to the Word of God. We first cling on to our holy baptism, realizing that now we are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we pick up Christ's own words in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Because we are in Christ, we should have no fear. But sometimes we do have that fear. Our sinful nature is strong. And I will admit, probably before tonight's message, you really probably weren't fearing an unclean spirit. And fair enough, because you are in Christ, nor should you. But sometimes we have some other fears that I can relate to our text for today that fits in concept with our theme. How many times have you heard people fearing the concept of getting older, especially in the area of dementia or Alzheimer's, when it really consumes the person? And I've been at someone's bedside and their loved one is sitting there sort of in grief and in tears, sort of saying to themselves, "That isn't my loved one. This illness has taken them over. That isn't the one who I know, because they do not know me." sometimes cancer, will also bring us to this particular point. Something that makes us slaves to the bodily effects of sin in this world. And we may struggle with these issues and sit there and say, something has consumed our loved one. Well, fortunately for me, during my internship in Charter Oak, Iowa, one of the very first shut-in visits, it was actually a nursing home visit I had to make, was a person named John. I remember walking into the room and introducing myself as the new vicar. That's what us as pastor interns were called. And I cannot repeat the words that first came out of his mouth. There were words I heard before growing up on the streets of Chicago that do not belong in a message and do not belong in church. They were every single word you can imagine. I was called every single name in the book. And I remember after a few minutes of just being harassed with different names, I just politely excused myself and I said, "Don't worry, John, I'll be back next month." I would visit him on a monthly basis during my internship, and the next month was a much better day for him. We could converse and we could talk a little bit and I could give him God's word. But in the midst of him and whatever medical issues were going on, as he was conversing in four-letter words, was he still in Christ? And that's where our fears come in with things like dementia and other illnesses that sort of consume us. And we start worrying, if a person can't make that confession, are they still in Christ? And the answer is, yes. Who is the one who defeated sin, death, and the devil? Christ. And if Christ defeated sin, death, and the devil, can he not have more power over things like dementia and Alzheimer's or cancer or any other illness that may consume our body? The answer is yes. As Matthew 10 reminds us, do not fear the one who can only destroy the body. Have respect and fear for the one who can destroy the body and soul in hell. Again, the answer is Christ has defeated sin, death, and the devil. He is the victor. We have to be in Christ. Then why does God allow these various things of sin to affect our lives? Well, the plain and simple, we're still this side of heaven, so to speak. In heaven, we will have that spiritual glorified body. Until that time, we still struggle with the effects of sin. But have no fear, because as Romans 8 reminds us, for I'm sure that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Have no fear. Continue to trust in Christ. Christ is the answer. And so as we place our trust in Christ, whenever any fear comes upon us, whether it's things of visible or invisible fears, we turn to Christ. That's why it's important to have daily devotions, to spend time in Christ, in His Word, spend time in Christ and prayer. Spend time connected with God's Word and sacrament. Again, all of this is to strengthen you. No one can snatch you from the Father's hands. Amen, as Scripture reminds us. But when fear consumes us, because we have not been strengthened with God's Word, we may drift away. Sure enough, Satan, the evil angels, whatever you want to call them, cannot snatch us or pull us away from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But Satan has this way of trying to deceive us, to sit there and say, this really isn't that important. Is it? Go on with your life. Don't worry about things you can't see. Why believe that there is a devil? Because if there is no devil, you have no need for a Savior who delivers you from one. That is what Satan is trying to convince you of. So today, as we take a look at our text, again, if it makes us a little uncomfortable and creates a little bit of fear, look at the cross of Jesus. As Martin Luther says in his evening prayer, he says, "I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things." Yes, Luther understood. He continues on and says, "Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me." Amen. So we do remember our text for today, and we draw comfort from it. We put our faith and the trust in the one who says to the unclean spirit, "Come on out." And the spirit does. They are answerable to the creator of the universe, the one who redeems the universe, and the one who keeps you in faith, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to sort of conclude with that quote from C.S. Lewis, where it is said of him, "There is no neutral ground in the universe. Every inch is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan." The same is true with us. Satan is trying to get his hold on us. But do not worry. Christ has already put his name on you through holy baptism. The same Christ who defeated sin, death, and the devil upon the cross, and who has driven the devil out of you, has claimed you to be his own through holy baptism. So this day we have no fear. We put our faith and trust in what Christ has done. And if our sinful nature gives in to fear, we need to return to the cross, return to God's word, remember our baptism, that you are not your own. You were bought with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is his name upon you. He has cleansed you from the unclean spirit. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.